Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week, and we're going to bring it back home with two old guys.
You can never go home again.
Talking about old games.
Yeah, no guest host. No John Turley.
No John. It's his wife's birthday.
Yeah. Real good excuse, John. We see where your priorities lie.
I don't want to go get drunk in your garage. I'm hanging with my wife. That's my John Turley impression. Drunk.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. But it's our Original Flavor Wednesday, so we are wrapping up IGN's 11th ranked game, Secret of Mana. However you want to say it.
Whatever.
Yeah. I'm your beard host, Tyler, and no one knows this story, because it is a regretful recall that happened completely in my mind.
Like a Jean Grey scenario?
Well, because I said this thing mentally, and now thinking back to it, I cringe, and I was like, okay, I'm going to have to talk about this on the...
So it's a Catholic regretful recall.
Yeah,
you didn't actually say it.
Yeah, nothing physically happened. It was just something I said to myself, and now I think about it just like, fuck. And I've never told another person.
All right, well, what is it?
So my regretful recall, in high school, I was like middle of the ground popular, you know, not popular enough to hurt people and not so popular that I was going to stay there for the rest of my life reveling in it. You know, just right in the middle, where you need to be later in life,
right in the middle
of popularity. So like, I remember my first year of high school, like I could sit with the really popular kids, but I didn't have really anything in common with them. So it was just kind of like, okay, well they accept me, but I'm not really having any fun. I remember my sophomore year, I had an epiphany of like, this sucks. And I wouldn't sit with the people that like, I could actually joke around with, and it was a lot funner. I remember that was a turning point for me in high school when I stopped giving a shit.
You made a decision.
I made a conscious decision, and I was a much happier person for it.
You're like, these guys don't talk about video games or their buttholes nearly enough for me.
Yeah, you were exactly right. Hey, quarterback, let's talk about Chrono Trigger. No, you don't know what Chrono Trigger is?
All right, let's talk about buttholes. Whoa, you know a lot about that. Too much butthole for me. I'm going to go sit with the middle of the road kids.
Middle of the road butthole. The comfortable butthole kids. But I remember there was some class, it was some home ec class you could take where I remember at one point they made candy, and one of my biology classes, like I sat close to like the popular section in my biology class, and there was one really popular guy, and he had just made like this. It was like sugar glass kind of candy. It was similar to rock candy, but it was large shards, and it was like cotton candy flavored.
Candy
that now, if he had brought it into school, people would think he was trying to stab people with broken glass.
Candy that you eat and it really destroys stuff inside.
But like, he unwraps the tinfoil and he passes it out to all his popular friends, and he comes back to me and he's like, "Hey, Tyler, I want to give you a piece." So he gives me a piece of his rock candy. I'm like, He's always been a super nice guy. Uh-huh. That's very nice. Like the guy I'm sitting beside, he doesn't give him any of this candy.
Does he do the thing where he like goes to hand it to him and is like, psych? like those two guys did to us in Atlanta with pizza.
Yeah. You want a slice, psych? But I remember, this is another weird tangent. One day, like Ashley Shake and I weren't feeling well and we had PE. We both actually like PE, so we weren't like nerds faking it to sit in the stand.
You had pulmonary embolisms, both of you.
I remember we're sitting in the stands, and it's dodgeball day, and they're all playing dodgeball. So in order to entertain ourselves for the hour we're having to watch this dodgeball, we assign each different side Suikoden characters and what army they're on.
Classic. I feel like everyone did that.
Yeah, when they were kids. I feel like everyone did the 108 stars of Destiny during gym.
That's something I think that America can really bond on.
I remember, but the kid who gave me the rock candy was one of the heroes. Okay. Like we really liked him, and he was a
apparently popular guy. He had candy and tinfoil. What else do you need?
And he gives me the piece of candy. I thank him, and I eat it. It's really good. I remember, here's the regretful recall part. In my head, I'm like, oh, this must be what popularity tastes like. Yeah, you cringed. It's awful. And I think about that now, and I was like, oh my god, oh my god.
Well, you know, that probably is what popularity tastes like.
Yep.
Who knows? We'll never know. We'll never.
I'm glad I didn't say that out loud to anybody.
Until now. Do you want to re-record the intro? You feel okay about this?
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's been 12 years. It's all right.
I didn't mean to give like a physical reaction like that.
Well, that's how you know it's a good regretful recall.
I hope that everyone listening, like, just
when your
up.
Friend's like shoulders touches earlobes, then you know it's a good regretful recall.
I felt like I turned into Beetlejuice when you said that. What's up, internet? I'm your bespectacled host, Dave. And today at lunch, I had lunch with John Turley of NBA James fame, of wife has her birthday today fame. fame. And I did something I did something that I wish I hadn't. So I had like a regret.
I kissed John. He leaned in to get a sandwich and I just kissed him.
I said something I said that it was something I wish I hadn't done. I'm completely fine with that decision. John was a little weirded out. So we're at the Mexican restaurant in Paducah called El Portón, which used to be Los Amigos. It's a long story. Used to be an excellent restaurant. I'm going to go down this road.
We've got so much Mexican restaurant Paducah drama to go through.
I'm going to go down this long road. I'm going to take you on this journey. Used to be a great restaurant when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then they changed their name, which I assume was like some kind of change in ownership. And then they painted the building green, which was like a warning sign that this awesome Mexican restaurant's about to turn into El Chico's, y'all. So you might want to go ahead and pack up, get the fuck out of town, because the food started not being so great. And so I don't know why we're eating there today, but we are. And John and I are talking, and I happen to see a guy that I know professionally. Like, I've art directed a few video shoots with him. And
Porn.
I wish. God, I wish. No, mainly political commercials. So just as dirty,
just
and disgusting, degrading to everyone who watches it. So I'm eating and John's talking to me. And then I look up and I happen to see this guy. He's across the restaurant and he is eating with, I assume, maybe his parents. I don't know. He's dressed like he normally is. But then there are these older people with him who are dressed nicely, and they're having a nice, quiet conversation. And I look up, I happen to see him way across the restaurant. And he looks up at the same time, and he sees me, and he acknowledges me. He like kind of gives me a nod, and I'm just like, "Sup, Kurt?" Just yelling across the restaurant. John's talking to me. Like in the middle of conversation, John just kind of like looks over his shoulder like, what the fuck's going on? And then as the words came out of my mouth, I was like, should not be doing this to just a guy that I have worked with before. It is clearly with maybe his parents. Maybe they just came from a funeral. I don't know.
Maybe he's meeting it's a Craigslist threesome hookup.
The El Portón key party.
So it was your pictures didn't match how you look right now, but you're dressed very nicely and you're buying me Mexican food.
I would do that. I think I would do that.
Hope I don't see anybody I've ever worked with professionally. Because that is very unlike you to do something like that.
I mean, look, margaritas are $2 from 2 to 7, so.
All right, you ready to talk about Secret of Mana? Mana?
Yeah, let's do it.
So.
Where we last left off, I have no idea.
I don't know either.
I have no idea.
We're not giving a walkthrough, so it's just like, whatever.
That's great.
But, so we played more Secret of Mana. I wanted to beat it.
Yeah.
But I did not. Full disclosure, I did not beat it.
Yeah, I didn't either. I feel like I got pretty far. Yeah. I forgot how long this game is. And I don't think it's actually really that long if you like play it fast.
Yep.
But like when
I cannot refute your logic.
Cause like we played a little bit yesterday and like I was like, man, Tyler like really just plows through this because like I'm just kind of like taking my time and like just scrolling through my weapons, looking at them, being like, well, what needs to be leveled up? Because I want to maximize. I want to level all my weapons up. And I got to the point where I was like, you know what? We're going a lot faster because Tyler doesn't give a shit about that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I like this weapon. Let's do this. Yeah. Why I probably was blazing through it because playing with you was fun. But overall, the game really didn't get much better for me.
Okay, so that was the big thing last time we talked about was that I feel like one of the big deals about this game is that you can play it with other people. Mm-hmm. It's like an action RPG that you can play with other people, which was kind of a new thing at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was curious if that changed your
I still
opinion
don't know of a lot of, you know, a lot of console games. Like, if you could do like multiplayer Fallout, that would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Something like that, that I really want to have, you know. If it's multiplayer, it's usually some kind of a shooter nowadays.
Well, and this is like kind of the thing that like I've always wanted is like a game like Secret of Mana that is maybe not an MMO, but it's like you can set up a server where maybe 12 people can play at a time. And like you don't have to be in the same area of the world. Like you can all be like doing your own thing, mm-hmm. but you each control like a 3-person party. And we played Nostalgia for a little bit, which mm-hmm. is an MMO that's kind of like that. But it was more of like a traditional RPG.
Yeah, Nostalgia is, I feel like that is the next step from Secret of Mana.
Because I would love, I think this game would be even better if it's like, I guess even like, you know how the multiplayer was in Red Dead Redemption? Did you ever do any of the multiplayer? It was essentially the world, right, that you played the single player in, but there just happened to be like 10 other guys, and they were doing their own thing. So like they're doing quests. You're doing your quests. You're all just doing your own thing. Sometimes you run across one another and maybe you kill each other, maybe you don't. And then like there'll be like multiplayer objectives and stuff that will come up as you're playing. Mm. So I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
Especially in like 1993 when this came out.
Like some kind of like a small couch co-op kind of RPG, not like World of Warcraft or Final Fantasy where it's structured like that. Something to where you could play it solo just as well as you could multiplayer.
Yeah.
And it's a couch, singular, non-online experience.
Someone tweeted, and I told you this last night, but I just want to repeat it because I think it's a great idea. I think it's fun. And I think it's something that Square Enix would never, ever, ever do. because they don't like to do fun things anymore.
Uh-uh. They just like to make things look pretty.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's in the corporate handbook, I think. Like cover is just says Square Enix, and then you flip it open, and it says, nothing fun ever. Ever. Ever, ever again.
Listen to the fans. Do the opposite.
There's a flow chart. Are you listening to the fans? Yes. And then it goes down to jump off the building.
You're fired.
Yeah, you're fired.
Are you working on a Final Fantasy VII remake? You're fired.
The tweet was that Square should make a version of a remastered version of Secret of Mana and put it on Steam and allow for drop in, drop out multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be amazing.
That would be very nice.
Like Diablo 2 or Diablo 3 style, really 3 style, where you could set a Secret of Mana game as public and then people could just like jump in. Cause I would do that. Like if I was on my lunch break and had like 20 minutes to kill, I would jump into a Secret of Mana game.
Yeah. No, I think you're very, very correct. I think that would be fun. Do that. Take out the charge mechanic.
You don't like the charge mechanic of the weapon.
I get like if they had made it super actiony, I feel like that maybe they were worried about losing that RPG essence because all the RPGs at this point in time are all turn-based. So then I assume they tried to make a hybrid of turn-based and action, and I feel like it's just clunky as fuck.
Well, and you said this last night, and you were right. The magic system is one of the things that's clunky and kind of like takes it out of the action RPG realm.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like charging the weapon, you have to wait for it to charge, but at least you can do that outside of the menu system. like, in order to cast a spell in the game, you have to open the ring menu.
Yeah.
And it's the same ring menu that was in Secret of Evermore. Man, people love this system. Like, there are people out there who love, love, love the ring menu. I didn't like it in Secret of Evermore. I don't like it in Secret of Mana. I didn't like it as a kid. Like, and my mind has not changed on that.
I am, yeah, I'm 100% with you. I don't like it either.
It's like,
especially in multiplayer, then it's just like.
Well, right, because you and I are playing, and then all of a sudden we're running across like Joker ghosts, and we can't hit them with our weapons. Like, we have to use magic. So it's like, in order to use magic, we have to open the menu so that the sprite character can cast a spell, and that just pauses all of the action.
Mm-hmm.
So one person sits there while another person fumbles through a menu.
Yeah,
it's like not fun for anyone.
No, and then you're trying to. It's just such a. It's just kind of disappointing because they're trying to make it action-like. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like if you could assign hotkeys to certain spells and abilities and just, because you'd mentioned, you know, L and R aren't really used for much at all.
At all.
So L, R, and then.
Dude, Y and X aren't used for anything either, really. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much just like B and A.
Yeah, and then you're just scrolling, pressing up and down through the left and right through the rings. So you could easily make a four key hotbar like Dragon Age, and then key it to the, because you know only certain abilities are only useful at a certain time,
right?
So and then you'd have to put the ring system to reassign them if you wanted something a lot different. But
it's hard for me, like it's difficult for me because it's
or
like,
press select to go between different sets of macros. So have your attack macro, press select, have like a number 1, 2, 3 to scroll through your hotbar to select what set of macros you need.
I think that's awesome. Like, I think that's really an awesome idea, but I think it's a little unfair for us to look at it and be like, you know, this thing that hadn't been invented yet? They should have done that thing.
That's what I feel bad because so many people love this game.
Yeah.
Like, I am sure if I had played this at the time it came out when I was, you know, because you love everything from when you were, you know, 12 and 13 years old.
Like, except for the beatings.
Except for the well, like you said about Saturday Night Live last night, like, everyone's favorite cast and thinks Saturday Night Live was the best was when you were 12 and 13 years old.
Yeah, and that they said that on the Unpopular Opinion podcast. That was not my original thought, unfortunately.
But
they're like, right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, that's right. If it's not the SNL when you were 13, it wasn't the good one. It wasn't the good season. And that's you're right. That's kind of how it is with a lot of video games, too.
So yeah, looking back on this with, because I missed this game, looking back to it doesn't have that timelessness that I feel like a lot of other games will have. Yeah. Even though like Soul Blazer was a lot older than this, but there was still something to be appreciated about that game.
Oh man, Soul Blazer is like so much worse than this game.
You think so?
Yeah.
See, I really like Soul Blazer.
Oh, Soul Blazers. But see, I think this is one of the, you played Soul Blazer when you were a kid.
A little bit. Not enough to have like heavy nostalgia for
I missed it completely.
Yeah.
I played Secret of Mana. I played through it once. And you miss Secret of Mana completely. Like, I think that plays a lot into it. Like, I think no matter
just a little bit.
Yeah, I think no matter how objective we try to be, like, it's pretty much fucking impossible.
Yeah.
The art style of a game means a lot to me.
Like, the art style is fantastic.
Like, it means a whole lot to me. Yeah. Like, that can honestly, like, make or break a game for me. That's just how I'm built. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if I feel like it looks chintzy, I don't really gravitate to it. And that's what I kind of, my problem with, honestly, a lot of Enix games at the time, I just didn't think they looked good. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they looked good. I thought they looked kind of cheap, especially in comparison to like Square Enix games.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Square Enix spends all this money on production and that's what got me hooked as a kid. And I mean, I see that in Secret of Mana still, and that still is, I mean, that's alluring to me still. Mm-hmm. I'm still drawn to that. So, yeah, man, I totally think Secret of Mana is better than Illusion of Gaia or any of that.
I do think it's better than Illusion of Gaia. But, like, I love the art style. I love how everything looks, how the spells, like, touch and go. But, like, all the characters and the towns, like, I think it all looks good. I think the music is, I mean, I went and downloaded the soundtrack after we stopped playing last night. The music is fantastic. But I still just, like, I feel like, for me to appreciate it now, I still feel like we just got shafted with Secret of Mana. Like, that's why it really needs to be remade and re-released. Full translation, take out some of the hiccups, and I think it would be, today, I think it would be phenomenal. I love all the different weapons you can choose and level, and then over time, they each have different status ailments, and you said Also, like, the whip is strong when you're fighting, like, beasts.
Right.
So it's got, you know, added layers to it right. that I think is, that's very cool.
But it's so clunky to change them that you don't use them. And that goes kind of goes mm-hmm. into, like, what they could have done with the R and L buttons, too, right? Because it's like...
You could easily, you yeah, could why not cycle be able to through. Scroll through the
yeah,
ring
Yeah, like
L.
you do in, like, a first-person shooter with your guns or something mm-hmm. like that. I mean, I don't know. That, I feel like, is something they totally could have done because, I mean, that was around the time that, you know... Scrolling through weapons and stuff. That was a thing in mm-hmm. PC gaming.
Because you had mentioned, because this is, what, Seiken Densetsu, this is, Seiken Densetsu 1 was for Game Boy.
Right.
So this is Seiken Densetsu 2, and there is also a Seiken Densetsu 3 for Super Nintendo. But it was only released in Japan.
Right, we didn't get that.
So, but there are fan translations. So I think for Another Ship Monday, eventually, because I watched some eventually. Playthroughs of that video.
Yeah.
Of Seiken Densetsu 3, it looks... I really like the way it looks, and they added more layers, like a day and night mechanic and things like that. I want to play that game to see if they took the complaints I have about Secret of Mana and fixed them so I can get behind this series as a whole. And
I'm down
I know
to play
there
it.
Was a...
I'm down for you to be miserable.
And there's, I'm not for what system, Sword of Mana is a remake of Second and Setsu 1, so they remade the Game Boy one, and then there's, what, Legend of Mana,
mm-hmm.
which is another... has the same kind of art style, only it's changed a little more cartoony.
I haven't played any of these.
And like, there are two more that weren't. I mean, this is the only one that's really been received well.
I know we got the first one on the Game Boy, you said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like labeled Final Fantasy.
It was Final Fantasy right. something adventure.
Adventure, yeah. There are Moogles in this game.
Yeah,
I think that's true. I think that's worth mentioning.
Very surprising, yeah. And they're good Moogles. They're not like... shitty current Moogles. I don't like where
you
Moogles
don't like
have,
the bunny Moogles.
I hate where Moogles have gone in the current Final Fantasy. They're just like cat size and they float. Uh-huh. Like no, thank you. I like the Moogles that
look like teddy bears.
Yeah,
yeah, I do
that
too.
That can stand like could be in your party.
Yeah,
you're not gonna fight alongside like a Moogle in a current Final. The white, you know, with the ball on its head. Because what Tactics Advance Moogles are
uh-huh.
a lot different, right?
Yeah, I think that's kind of where that like whole thing kind of started. Mm. That whole trend of making Moogles look, I guess, realistic. I think they're going for like more like Star Wars look, maybe. Like, what if Moogles were alien, like an alien race? I don't know. I prefer the teddy bear Moogles too.
Yeah, they look good. Like next to my favorite Moogle is nostalgized as Mog in Final Fantasy VI.
For sure.
Next to...
Well, he's the best Moogle.
Next to those Moogles, this is the next best one. The way they look in Secret of Mana.
While we're bitching about Moogle stuff, let's pause the show and let's start a new segment called Moogle Corner. Okay. We're now in Moogle Corner. Here's what grinds my gears about Moogles nowadays. Final Fantasy... I say nowadays. Now I'm just going to go right into Final Fantasy VII. Like, ever since Final Fantasy VII forward, they just, like, gave up on calling them Moogles. And they're like, you know what? Let's just call them Mogs.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that. I guess Mog was just so awesome in Final Fantasy VI. They're just like, that's the one. That's the one Moogle, like, going forward. Like, that's just, he's the Adam. He's the Adam Moogle who asexually reproduced and formed all these other Mogs. They later armed themselves and then killed all the former Moogles.
Man, fucking wait till we get to Final Fantasy VI. The fucking Moogle talk is going to take up half the show.
Moogle Corner.
We'll have to have three episodes for that one. The two regular one and one just Moogle Corner.
I like it. I'm down. Sign me up. I'll do Moogle Corner right now. What's your favorite colored pom-pom?
Shit, dog.
Original flavor?
It's got to be red, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But let's see. I'm struggling, again, going back to the combat system, Secret of Mana,
because mm-hmm.
you have to wait and charge your, you know, wait for your weapon to refill if you're going to do any worthwhile damage at all.
Right. Your stamina has to get to 100 mm-hmm. and or else you're going to do shit damage.
And even then, like, I don't understand the mechanics behind missing, because sometimes it's like if they're in a certain animation, you're just going to miss.
Yeah.
That's it. That's just it.
Well, and sometimes there's some lag, too, because it's like you said, if they're in an animation and you hit them, either you just no damage is dealt or like 3 seconds will go by for that animation to complete and then the damage will register. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of weird. It always kind of feels like... To me, it always kind of felt like I got no confirmation. Like, sometimes it felt like what I was doing was effective, and at other times, doing the same exact thing didn't feel effective. So at any given time when I'd swing a weapon, it was just kind of a crapshoot because I didn't know what was gonna happen.
And knowing how far you have to be and how close you have to be, it feels like it kind of changes depending on the enemy and the terrain. So it's like, yeah, and they don't really react to being hit. You just see those 2 to 3 numbers pop up and kind of bounce. And
I like that. I mean, I do. I like that this Secret of Mana had a lot of things that like attract me and like people with my personality because I've got an addictive personality. And like when you kill an enemy or when you hit an enemy and those numbers pop up in that animated fashion, it's like a slot machine essentially, because it's just like I get that reward or it's like, oh, that's nice. You know, mm-hmm. I was rewarded with a nice animation. And they took a lot of care in like even the death animations of the monsters, because it's like when I think it's the goblins, when I was fighting the goblins are really cute to begin with. Like when you beat a goblin in battle, like he turns into a pile of bones, like just in a puff of smoke. And like the animation is so simple and like elegant and well done. And the sound that goes along with it is just like, it's such a reward that I don't mind going around the cavern and like just killing all the goblins, mm-hmm. like just for that. It's like, I mean, it's what World of Warcraft perfected, you know,
okay.
like that, or Diablo 2 really, I think is a really good, comparison, because it's like Diablo 2, it's like killing that monster and getting the great
all
loot.
All the white text and coins, yeah, everything just pops up.
Like fly out of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that happens, and it's like, I mean, it's just like fucking Christmas. It's like, shit, let's do this again.
Speaking of Christmas, Dave,
yeah,
let's like segue into your favorite part of Secret of Mana's storyline.
Yeah.
Is you have to save Santa Claus.
You do have to save Santa Claus. That is, it's not Tim Allen Santa Claus. It's no, there's no E on the end of Claus. It's just regular old Saint Nick. I do wish that you could kill him and become Santa Claus. That would have. They should have a karma system in Secret of Mana where you get to choose the fate of Christmas for children everywhere.
Because what you go in, you find Rudolph talk about his master being gone.
Right.
So that's your first hint.
And it's a really big hint.
You go into the Ice Palace and eventually fight the Frost Gigas.
Right.
Who just looks like a frost giant out of Norse mythology. Mm-hmm. And then when you save him, he turns back into Santa Claus.
Right.
And thanks you.
I can't even remember like the bullshit excuse he gave either.
Well, he was sad that kids were stopping believing in him.
Right.
So then he wanted to use mana to make kids believe in him again, but then it twisted him into a giant monster.
Right.
So because we talked about last night, like, was it Santa Claus in Japan? Was it like a god figure in Japan? And they had, like, over here, Nintendo's like, no religious overtones. Take that out.
I kind of hope not. Like, I kind of hope, like, I don't even know. I'm not in tune enough with Japanese culture to know, like, how big into Santa Claus they are. I'm going to go ahead and assume probably not as much as we are.
The only thing I know about the Japanese and Christmas is
from Danganronpa.
Ashley Shake of Fist Puncher fame told me that eating lots of fried chicken from KFC is a solid Japanese tradition.
It's a solid American tradition too, I think.
Like that's the big time of year for KFC over there. So,
do they think that Colonel Sanders is Santa Claus?
I hope so.
Popeyes is not a very successful chain in Japan.
Nope.
They don't know what a Louisiana kitchen is.
Man, now I want Popeyes.
Popeyes is good, man.
Popeyes is good.
This episode brought to you by Popeyes. I'll go to Popeyes right after this show and eat a fucking bucket and a couple biscuits. I hated the idea of Santa Claus in this game as a kid. Playing it the first time, I remember bitching about it when I was a kid. I remember just like, it just felt so fucking hokey, and it was just like, it's just out of the blue ridiculous. And it bugged me as a kid, but it really bothered me as an adult because I had forgotten about it and we got to it and it was just like, this is the laziest fucking writing you can possibly have mm-hmm. for a story in a game. It's just lazy. Like that mm-hmm. like level of laziness really bothered me because it's like, who are they going to find in the Crystal Forest? I don't know, Santa Claus? All right. It's like, there's the first idea someone threw out. They're like, yep, Santa Claus. They just typed it in.
Who lives in the forest? The Krampus. No. Santa Claus. Brilliant. Okay, my thinking of Santa Claus makes you think of the Krampus, which makes you think of my dad. My dad, who thinks...
Wait. Are you going to explain that logic train?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Because my... I have a cousin who thinks the idea of the Krampus is, like, funny, and he celebrates...
The Christmas, like, devil.
Yeah.
Yeah. That he, steals children.
And that's just... He thinks it's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
So he does that, and...
So wait, he dresses as Krampus?
I don't know exactly how he celebrates. I just know that he does.
He definitely kidnaps children. That is something he definitely does.
And because he does this, there's some family get together and he mentions it.
It's the children gathering.
And my dad just, like, my dad can't understand. Like, it's just the idea of such a creature is just like, my dad does not compute. Krampus does not compute. And so he's over one day and he's like holding Kenna and we're all just sitting around. And he's like,
oh God, you know this
what,
is recent.
You know what pisses me off and is ridiculous? Your cousin and this stupid, you know what the Krampus is? It's the most ignorant, stupid thing I've ever heard. And he just bitches about the Krampus.
What sparked
for like
that?
10 minutes.
Do you have any idea? Like just out of the blue or?
We were complaining about Comcast and my cousin works for Comcast.
Okay. I was hoping there was no connection there. Just like we were complaining about Comcast. Dad started going off about Krampus again. You got to be really careful what you bring up around Randy. Yeah, I thought it was lazy. I really did. I thought it was lazy. And, God, I wish I could have forgotten that. Like, I mean, I had like completely blotted it out of my memory, but now it's brought up again and it just goes in line with, the writing in this game in general is pretty lazy.
It's because I know that the translation was rocky and sure. having to cut so much. Sure. So I just like, I also like dialogue. The whole thing with dialogue.
Yeah.
It's just like.
He's a general.
Yeah. And the female character's in love with him.
And she looks exactly like him. They both look like Cloud from Final Fantasy VII. He just kind of looks like a bigger Cloud and she looks like. I guess she just feels like if she dresses and like does her hair exactly like him, he'll love her.
That's because it's kind of like, are they going for something fucked up like that? Because it seems like it's this weird abusive relationship that you're playing out because like she leaves the kingdom. She won't talk to her dad because she wants Dalek. Dalek is like, he's off in the army and then suddenly he's like seeing other girls and then he's evil and being twisted. And every time you approach him, he... hits her or kills her or and you're just constantly dealing with like are we missing something in the story?
Well, he's mind controlled. He is mind controlled. He's pulling a cane. They're pulling a cane on us, I think. So like that explains some of it, but it does not explain why he has a girlfriend that looks exactly like him. Because the girl who loves him does not look exactly like him. You would think if I had to choose between having a girlfriend or a wife that looked exactly like me or one that...
We're not pandas.
Yeah. It doesn't. The one that maybe looked a little better. I think I'd probably go better. I'm gonna go with the better looking one.
But I can't praise this game enough for the multiplayer aspect because I feel like it was kind of breakthrough.
Absolutely.
It was, you can't stray far enough away from each other.
Yeah, you can't go.
To make it be super, like we wanted to flank enemies and stuff like that and you can't.
You share the screen.
Yeah.
So it's like impossible.
Even then you can't, with a lot of bosses that take up a larger area of the screen, you can't be strategic and play with each, play like that because like it's a very tight area in which you have to stay and if you... One character moves away while the other's standing there, then it just stops.
The screen stops scrolling, and then the other character can't move. Yeah. And it's also kind of annoying because it doesn't give you the full range of the screen because there's like this invisible barrier. Like you can't go to the edge of the screen. There's like this one block, this one unit that frames the screen that you can't move past unless the other person comes up next to you.
Also, when you aren't playing multiplayer, because it's fine when you're playing multiplayer and you can walk and follow each other. It's kind of weird whenever the NPCs are just completely AI controlled because they move like the monsters do in Lufia 2. Because if you take a step to the left, they take a step to the left. Mm-hmm. Like they mirror your actions, but they'll be stopped by the environment.
Right, and they'll get stuck a lot of times.
They get stuck, and you have to go back, and then The AI control is pretty bad.
The AI is bad. You can adjust them for combat, but unfortunately you can't adjust them for how they act outside of combat. Mm-hmm. They're always going to be derpy outside of combat. Yeah. They're always going to get stuck on a stone or a bush or a cliff, and you'll have to go back. And
so remember, because remember you and I being like at a door, uh-huh. and then like the sprites on the other side, like by the switch, just like running into the wall.
Yeah.
But I was always, all the vendors, there's the cat vendor, Nico.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the vendors are like men that are constantly dancing and wearing turbans.
They're
dancing
like
very fast.
They're disco dancing. I don't know. I can't explain it. No one ever brings it up. No one ever mentions it. I guess it's just an accepted thing in this world that all merchants.
Welcome to merchant school. Here's your turban. Here's your dancing book.
Show me your move. Thank you. Let's see. Nope. Cabbage Patch, you're out. You're a lawyer. Sorry.
And then the animation, I guess they didn't include like a animation for running down the steps. So whenever you run down steps, it kind of makes a funny noise and your character almost looks like they're glitching out when you're running downstairs.
Okay. I mean,
That's just something I noticed. Yeah. I'm not basically bitching about it, but it's something I noticed.
I mean, I'm saying that like that because like I'm thinking of like even like an Earthbound and like Chrono Trigger and stuff. I mean, stairs are like...
No one gets stairs.
Stairs are like the biggest obstacle in an RPG, I think, in the early 90s. Like, they probably have like 3 conference calls and like these big meetings are like, how are we going to handle stairs in this game? We're going to solve the stair problem once and for all. And they never do. They never get it right. It's always, I don't know, how about we just like make it really jerky looking and make this sound... Done.
Done. How about we just have just all ramps? You're fired. Get out of here.
A world without stairs?
There are no wheelchair-bound characters in this game. Well, we just, you know, it's fine. Nope, get the fuck out of here.
Man, that makes me wonder what their world decisions are like. That's a grim culture. If they're like, you know what? We never have to build ramps if there's no people in wheelchairs. You catch my drift?
It's like that Louis C.K., like, his bit on HBO about... It's kids with peanut allergies. It's horrible. It's awful.
Right.
We need to take care of them and be conscientious. But maybe we don't. And in a year, there are no more peanut allergies.
They've got magic. They could fix it with that.
That's true.
Maybe that's what's going on. Let's hope.
And there's the copious amount of weapons and abilities. The weapons are great, but that your armor, like basically, you just upgrade town to town, everybody has like the same armor and bracelet and hood that you buy from a vendor from town to town.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's pretty standard too.
I mean, Evermore was like that, but...
Earthbound's like that. I mean, every RPG is like that. You go to a new town later on in the game and you replace your items, right?
Because are there any like dropped equipment, like anything that's different from character to character besides the weapons? At least like Earthbound, like everyone had a different set. And then eventually it changed as you found more rare equipment.
I see what you mean.
But then like Secret of Mana, it was just like the 3 items from the vendor, one after the other.
Yeah, that's not a big problem for me because it's an action RPG. I feel like they're simplifying. Like, that's okay to me. Like, I feel like they're distilling the experience.
Was what they wanted to do with Secret of Mana, was the technology not there yet, do you think?
Because
had to be like so pared down.
The technology wasn't there yet for them to have additional items?
For them, everything that they wanted to do, I feel like... I can see where they might have wanted to go.
Oh, well, yeah, remember.
But it seems like everything was just, like, dialed way back. Like, Secret of Mana should have been a PlayStation game as opposed to a Super Nintendo game.
Well, yeah, we talked, I mean, briefly, I mentioned in the last episode, this was originally a SNES CD game.
So, instead of paring it down, I feel like they should have waited and came up with it on. Because what, the Super Nintendo CD became the Sony PlayStation, right?
I believe that's right. Yeah.
So like,
oh, this would have been, dude. This would have been infinitely better.
Yeah.
On the PlayStation, like 1,000 times better. Yeah, they would have had a lot more space. They could have done a lot more with what they wanted to do. So I do feel like that's. I mean, everything is pared down, and I kind of feel like that is a design decision because it's an action RPG and not a full fledged RPG.
Yeah.
So like, I can forgive a lot of that stuff. Like a lot of that stuff doesn't bother me. Like if this had been like a turn based RPG, then it would have bugged me that all your characters are decked out in the same gear. Mm-hmm. But because it's an action RPG, I kind of honestly felt it was nice that I could go into a shop and just be like, yep, I need 3 of those. I need 3 of those raccoon hats. I need 3 of those golden vests. And I need 3 of those lion wrists. All right. Equip them up. Great. Let's move on to the fucking forest to fight Santa Claus.
I like that your airship is a dragon.
Yeah.
That was staying within, you know, the confines of the game, as opposed to find some ancient mana-related ship or something like that from the days before.
Yeah, I like that too. Flammy.
Flammy.
Flammy the dragon. And there's, I think that's one of the best storylines in the game, is where you find Flammy and nurse him as from a young dragon. I think that's pretty cool. I wish there was more stuff like that, because my biggest complaint with the game, because like honestly, a lot of the mechanics, they're annoying, but I can overlook them to a certain degree. You asked me off the mics a couple days ago if I encountered a glitch going through a door. I assume that you did. Mm-hmm. I did too. It happened to me when John and I were playing. We were going through one of the doors in like one of the first caves. And we went through the door and it just kind of shunted us into the wall. Mm-hmm. Like we just couldn't move. We had to reset the game. Something happened to you like that? Or
exactly the same thing.
Was it in the same spot and everything?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
In Gaia's navel?
Yeah. It was in Gaia's navel. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a bummer. Like, I feel like that's a pretty big mark against it. It's not as bad. Like in Sparkster, because like in Sparkster, it's like, it's a platformer, right? So it's like,
you got to start all
the way over from the fucking beginning. But like at least in, I'm not trying to justify it, but at least in Secret of Mana, you could go back to your last save.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a little better.
It's a little better, but still I feel like, yeah.
I just feel like this game, for as much love as it gets and the good foundation it lays down, it deserves a better remake. It deserves to have like what it should have fully been in the first place.
I'd love to see it. I would. I'd love to see that. I think that we're probably in the part of the show where we talk about whether or not it belongs on this list.
No argument. I think it belongs on the list.
I think it does too. I don't think it belongs where it is.
Yeah.
I think honestly I would put this game like in the mid-20s. I think it's kind of weird that it's this close to the top 10.
Yeah.
Just because all those little things that we talked about that annoy us about it, like I think is enough. Like the sum of all those things is enough to put this game back like in the 20s.
Yeah.
The 1920s.
And I feel like this, the really, really strong thing is the multiplayer. And I think based on that alone, I would put it in the 20s.
And I'm also cutting it a lot of slack because it's pretty early on. Also, I mean, this is like, I think it was 1993. So, I mean, it's pre-Final Fantasy VI, definitely pre-Chrono Trigger. And I feel like, I mean, it's definitely making strides in art direction compared to like Final Fantasy II/IV.
Yeah.
Which looked like a really nice looking NES game. Like, I feel like this one was like, oh, wow, they put a lot of effort into it.
So this in comparison to a game that's not on the list at all, Secret of Evermore.
Yeah.
Which do you feel is the stronger entry into the Secret series?
I think you might disagree with me, but I think Secret of Mana.
See, I like Secret of Evermore more.
Yeah, I knew, based on the episode that we did with Miller, Secret of Evermore, like I knew that. I knew that you like Secret of Evermore a lot. Secret of Evermore didn't hook me. And I think it's because, honestly, I just think it's because of the setting.
Yeah,
I do. I think it's because of the setting. I thought that just a boy and his dog, even though the dog changed from time period to time period in Secret of Evermore, I didn't feel like there was enough variation. Like I did, that got old.
The boy and his dog are more flat characters than like the sprite and the girl, which I guess you had to know the instruction booklet to know their real names. Because you don't know them based on the game by itself.
Right. And I never had the instruction booklet, and I didn't look it up before the show, so I don't know what the real names are. Do you?
I think the boy's name is Randy with an I.
He hates Krampus.
The sprite's name is like Popoy, and the girl's name is like, it also starts with a P. It's like Porum or Poron, something like that. It's something like that. It's P's and O's somewhere.
I also didn't like the art style of Secret Evermore. Secret of Mana like looks like a Japanese game.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that. And I still really like that. There's like that art style is very appealing to me. I like anime and you know, all that stuff. So, I mean, like, I'm more attracted to that than the art style of Secret of Evermore, which I kind of felt like they didn't really know what to do with it. Because, like, I feel like in Secret of Evermore, some of it seems Japanese, but then it seems like they were consciously trying to set themselves apart from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that just made some kind of disconnect with me. I think the mechanics in Secret of Evermore are a lot better. Like, there seemed to be a whole lot less weird, glitchy.
Because it came out later, I guess they were able to refine it. Because I didn't bitch about the charging and the ring system nearly as much in Secret of Evermore as I do in Secret of Mana.
Yeah, in Secret of Evermore, I feel like you're not navigating as many menus as often as you are in Secret of Mana. Because it's like, I don't remember, granted I didn't finish Secret of Evermore, but I don't remember in Secret of Evermore you having to open the menu to defeat certain enemies.
Like in Secret of Mana. Once you set your spell, you just had to press a button. Right. That was your set spell.
Right.
So you only had to open the system to change spells.
Right.
And Secret of Mana, every time you cast a spell, you have to open
the menu. Like, I 100% agree with you. The mechanics are a lot better in Secret of Evermore.
And I agree with you that Secret of Mana looks better than Secret of Evermore.
Secret of Mana kept me engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I think it goes back to that, like, reward from killing an enemy. Because, I mean, the sound that it makes and seeing those numbers pop up, those big numbers, when you land a critical hit, like, just compels me to keep killing monsters. Mm-hmm. I mean, that game was, like, designed to be addictive, I think. And it, like, completely worked on me. Secret of Evermore, I don't know, not so much. It didn't have that same effect on me.
I feel like it had a little more drive to the other, like, finding the four lost characters. Like, it had a little more going in, but there was more in between the dungeons.
And the story is much better in Secret of Evermore. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that game has a much better story, but, like, given the two, like, if you set both of them down in front of me, I'd rather play Secret of Mana.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not. I mean, at least for a couple hours. I don't think, honestly, I don't think either of these games, I'd be like, all right, pop them in and let's play them from start to finish right now.
Once a year. Let's make this a tradition. Yeah, no.
I'm not going to do that.
Do you have any achievements for Secret of Mana?
Yeah, I think I got a few. I've got an achievement called Now You're Playing With Power. And in order to unlock Now You're Playing With Power, you need to upgrade one of your weapons, specifically the Spike Knuckle. You need to upgrade that to the Power Glove. And I've also got, my second achievement is Domo Origato Mr. Roboto. And in order to unlock Domo Origato Mr. Roboto, you need to defeat the machine named Kilroy, who was a boss in the early part of the game. You fight this robot named Kilroy, and when you beat him, it's a story achievement. It's pretty easy.
Happens. Mm-hmm. Bronze.
Yep. Yeah. It's a bronze. Both of these are, really. Mm-hmm. What you got?
I've got two. I've got Vitamin E King. You remember the cereal Vitamin King?
Yes.
I never bought it, but uh-huh. I was just creeped up by the box and I never wanted it. So
we should get a box of that, I think, for the show. I bet it tastes like
vitamins.
That's all it is. It's just crushed up vitamins. By the way, I hadn't had Captain Crunch in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I used to eat it all the time as a kid, and then like later on in my adult life, I had Captain Crunch. That cereal like just pretty much tastes like scraps of iron.
it fucks up the roof of your mouth. If you don't let it get soggy for a little bit for a second, eat that shit fresh. No, it's gonna. It's
you
gonna
know
fuck
I don't.
You, up.
You know I don't. Like I've got like a zero tolerance waiting period on food. Like it's like if it's there and it's in front of me, it's gonna get eaten. Like there's no waiting. There's no absolutely no waiting period. They don't have to go through. Food doesn't have to go through customs or anything. You're just like come on.
Like the peanut butter Captain Crunch. Totally fine.
Never had it.
It's lids with balls. No balls. You know, you're not going to hurt yourself on those.
Dude, I've hurt myself on the just cranberries. Or not crunchberries, cranberries. You know, the popular.
Just cranberries.
The popular Thanksgiving
just breakfast. Super tart, non-sweet. Oh, man.
Talk about something I hate about Thanksgiving. It's fucking cranberries. I can't stand cranberries.
Got another reference to my dad. Every single Thanksgiving, without fail, he says the same thing to me. Put a little bit of that cranberry. Here, get some turkey, get some stuffing, and a little bit of cranberry. Just a little bit. It's a delicacy, Tyler. it's cranberry, really. Uh-huh. It's a delicacy.
It's a Thanksgiving tradition. You should say, you know what else is a delicacy? Krampus.
It'll just hit me. You don't believe in that. You don't believe in that, dude. No son of mine's gonna believe in the Krampus.
That's a Thanksgiving tradition too, right? It's not Thanksgiving until Dad hits me.
until I mention something he doesn't agree with and he hits me. Well, I thought John was going to be here to help you out with this.
Oh, my God.
But I have got a quiz.
Okay, great.
I don't think you're going to do it nearly as bad as you think you will when I say what it is. Because when I say what it is, you're going to be like, fuck, man. I'm not going to fuck first this fucking sword quiz and now this. What the fuck are you doing?
This quiz is, what did the Mayans call the constellations? Okay, Orion.
Damn it.
Question one.
Now, this is a quotes quiz, okay. A Tadpog quotes quiz.
You would think, it sounds like I would do really good at this.
But I know you block out every single episode.
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember a fucking thing.
I think you'll do better at this than you think you will. But I've got the line, who said it, and then I don't know exactly what game it's from, what episode it's from.
So I can just make that part
from
up.
From all of them. I know like 7 of them. 3 of them, I just remember the quotes.
Did you do this off the top of your head, or did you listen back to episodes?
I listened to back episodes for most of them.
Okay, because I'm about to say, there is a chance that these are completely wrong.
There. All right, the Tadpog quotes quiz.
All right.
Question one. Mm-hmm. You've never had it from the cave's perspective. Or from the perspective of the mine.
From the perspective of the mine? I don't know. You've never had it from the cave's perspective. My game, like, all these fucking games have caves. Like, that's impossible to deduce. I'm going to go with, you've never had it from the cave's perspective. So you're going in the cave. You've got to be, like, going in the cave. You got to be going in the cave hard. You got to be going in fast. Like, the cave, maybe the cave isn't so sure about it. So what game? I'm going to go with Evo.
So, I've got, the game will, I think, will be a bonus.
God, I don't know.
But who said it is what I'm aiming for.
Who said it?
The game will just be like a bonus plus one, if you can name the game. But the person's what I want.
I could just go the safe route and, like, most of the time it's going to be you or me. I have no idea. I'm going to go with Lord Dennis. It sounds like an Evo thing.
It's actually a reference to Steam World Dig. And Nicole said it, because we were talking about just going deeper and deeper, as deep in that mine as we could go.
Okay.
And Nicole was like, you've never had it from the game's perspective. That was That was on Mega Man X3.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So far, doing great.
Question two. Mm-hmm. I might finger bang a fat chick, but I'm not going to date one.
I mean, I said that, right? I'm wearing that t-shirt right now. Are you fucking with me? I said that. God, dude, I really don't know. That sounds like something I would say or Miller would say. So or Jacob, definitely Jacob.
Yeah, absolutely Jacob.
I don't know. I don't feel like anyone would say that on our show.
I said that. And I believe,
what
I don't
kind
know.
Of, what kind of program do we do here?
I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure that was on Soul Blazer. Soul Blazer or Shadowrun. That was the one I just remembered. Number three.
Uh-huh.
Hashtag more Miller. Come on, man.
Well, I mean, that sounds like John Turley of NBA James' name complaining about Miller getting his own hashtag. So that's what I'm going to go with.
That was said by Jacob. During Bastion. That was awful. You can't put that on the show. That's terrible.
Well, Meg said that a lot. Maybe not on the mics.
Not on the mics.
So I'm gonna go with Meg.
Also Jacob during Bastion. That was after our Death Valley call. Turns out she wasn't a stripper, just a gross girl that wasn't wearing many clothes.
Jason? Miller.
Miller. Correct.
I get them confused all the time.
It was on the Rygar episode where they're both on, but it was Miller.
I knew what episode that one was, because I remember, I just remember Jason's story. Like, that story has stuck with me. So, like, I don't remember much about the show, but I remember that story.
He asked for my mom's panties, and I gave them to him.
Blake Woods.
You know what episode?
Yeah, I remember that story too. That was his interview, wasn't it?
Yeah, what? Correct on both parts.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite episodes.
When you're a pint low and you smoke a cigarette, it hits you hard.
John Turley
is correct.
John Turley. That was shit. I don't remember what we were talking about. It was a Wednesday. I guarantee you that.
Yep. You're correct.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what.
Tetris Attack.
Okay. No, I never would have guessed that.
I'm sure Cracker Barrel has great food, but to me, that place is my Blair Witch House.
Well, that was the founder of Cracker Barrel, Thomas Jackson. I don't know how the restaurant did so well with his obvious disapproval of his own company, but it did. I don't know the answer to that question.
You said that.
I almost said me. I said that's such a weird thing for me to say. I said it's my Blair Witch House.
Yep. What? You said that during Turtles in Time.
Would you say I was funnier back then?
I was hoping you'd get that one wrong.
Because I'm sure as fuck. I leave, we record, we do this thing, I leave, and I just forget about it. I just forget about it. And then, like, someone will say something to me, and it's like they're quoting something on the show. And it's just like, I'll either think that is the dumbest fucking thing I've heard, or that's pretty funny. Usually I'm thinking, man, that's fucking dumb. This person thinks they're funny.
I hope that's not on the internet for anyone to hear forever.
Well, the internet's not going to be around forever.
This is a more difficult one. I think Scary Spice was fucking the most guys.
I remember talking about all the Spice Girls.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go Jacob.
That was Sam of Megalixir during Demon Crest. Oh,
Sam. Yeah, you're right. I remember that now. Sorry, Sam. I let you down. Sam, answer this honestly for me. When Tyler just read that question, were you like, I said that? I'll bet you that you didn't. See, it's harder than you think, Sam. I can feel you judging me right now. It's harder than you think.
It's not a mocha without milk.
That doesn't even register. That does not even register. I mean, milk makes me think of breasts, which makes me think of you. So I'm going to go, you said that.
You said
that. When?
You and Ashley Shake both said that during the Fist Puncher episode.
Me and Ashley Shake have never said the same thing ever in the history of the universe.
Because I had asked you to get me a peppermint mocha.
Uh-huh.
And when you guys went to McDonald's, peppermint mocha, please.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of milk? No milk. It's not a peppermint mocha without milk.
Right. You're right. I remember that now. Is that it?
That's it.
I'm going to do this to you. Because you think it's really funny. I'm going to do this to you.
You're going to see.
Oh, wait, no. Wait. I think it's funny, too. But I want you to realize how hard this is.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping John Turley would be here to help you with this.
He would have done a lot better than me. I don't consume our horrible product. I just make it. All right, I just make it. I'm like Willy Wonka. You and I make this shit, and then we just put it out there, and I just ignore it.
No one at McDonald's eats the food. Right. They just make it go home.
They just get paid in McDonald's money. That's like how we pay ourselves with Tadpog points. Unfortunately, Micah owns like 3/4 of Tadpog because he got all the fucking points. Give me a break, Micah. I need some of that back.
It's all I got, too.
580 called, had a little message about Secret of Mana.
Hey, Tadpog. Yeah, Secret of Mana, I remember that. Playing it a couple of years back and so frustrated, wondering why the game wasn't any fun. But I kept playing it, you know, because my wife was out fucking other dudes. And, you know, I needed something to do it. Too. So. Fuck you, Melanie.
Yeah, fuck you, Melanie. If you're listening, well, I mean, she was my favorite character. Mm-hmm. Like, she is what popularity looked like. Yeah, I'm sorry you were frustrated.
You probably went into it frustrated, and it didn't help matters.
Well, I'm talking about his marriage with Melanie.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I see what you did there. It's an analogy. Like, how about this? How you go into Secret of Mana is how you go into your marriage. That's my Dr. Phil interpretation on the whole thing. Like, that's, I feel like I'm certified to give advice now.
You're as certified as he is, so it's totally fine.
You know, if you spend a lot of time twirling around the ring system, then good things might happen. If you play with 3 people,
There you go.
It might help. Like, there's all kinds of levels between marriages and Secret of Mana. And if you're into the kind of thing, there's levels between it, marriage, and Secret of Evermore. Not into guys or girls. You're into dogs. It's fine. We got a game for you. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've had a lot of fun today. I'm just ready to shut this down. So, but before we do, I've got a really important question for you. If you were to give this game a beard that just summed up how you feel about it, what kind of complex beard construct would you give it?
I would give it, it's got to be a beard made of multiple pieces, because this game, you know, the three characters got to be different parts. So if on the scene in Labyrinth, when the main character is flying on the hole and it's nothing but hands.
The
hand hole. So it is a beard made of all those hands interlocked together around a face.
Are they, okay, really important question. Mm-hmm. And also this will reveal how much you've thought about this. Are they regular human-sized hands or are they tiny hands?
I feel like tiny hands would be super creepy. So they'd be regular sized hands.
Because yeah, tiny hands would be super creepy. You could probably, let's just imagine if you could fit like 50 baby hands on your face. I'm not saying that's something you should do, but you probably could. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses that summed up how you felt about it, these are glasses that you put on every morning when you're thinking about Secret of Mana. What kind of glasses would you give it?
It's a very expensive and sad pair of glasses, because it is stained glass glasses, to where you see like this beautiful tapestry of all these different elements, but it didn't quite fix together, and you've broken them at some point.
This is your analogy for religion, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
All right, fair enough. I've got another really important question.
Oh, hey, I didn't finish my achievements.
Oh, you had more achievements? Let's just go
ahead. I didn't even explain how you got Vitamin E King. We just started talking about Captain Crunch.
I love that happened. See, look, if there's one thing no one can ever say about Tadpog, it's that it's scripted. Yep.
Vitamin E King is when you eat 50 walnuts over the course of the game, because walnuts are high in vitamin E.
And mana. Maybe that's where you get your MP. From your vitamin E.
It's all based on vitamin E. Any other achievement is Steve Blackman, anyone at all. Steve Black, that is when you reach level 4 with all weapons. Because Steve Blackman was a wrestler in the WWE when it was WWF, who specialized in using different kinds of weapons on his opponent.
But he was a wrestler and he was using weapons?
He was a wrestler. He was the hardcore champion, because you could use weapons in hardcore wrestling.
Like AK-47s and stuff?
Or? Kendo sticks and chairs.
So weapons. Quote-unquote weapons. I like how you explain your achievements. Maybe I should do that. Nah. Because I would not have known Steve Blackman. I would have been like...
I know you would have known.
Because, like, oh, could you tell from the blank look of my face?
I think most of our listeners, like, Jake would be like, yeah, Steve Blackman, and that's it.
I was sitting here thinking... What does that have to do with DJ Tanner's boyfriend? I mean, is it that one episode where he dressed up like Aladdin at Disney World?
That's because he was the voice of Aladdin.
Yes, yeah. I remember that. I can't tell you who said that on our Aladdin episode. Probably you. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I want to know how much this game is on Amazon. If you were to buy this game on Amazon used, how much do you think you'd pay? We'll do Price is Right rules. You're probably going to win unless you go over.
$50.
All right. Actual retail value of Secret of Mana for the Super Nintendo used on Amazon at the time of this recording is $45. You lost,
just
bro.
Barely went over.
You lost. I'm sorry. Yep. I probably would have guessed higher than $50.
Yeah.
So I would have lost too. Do you want to take a guess at how much it is new?
$175.
$2,000.
Wow, that's the biggest spike we've seen between used and new.
$2,000. Mm-hmm. So if you've got that, if you've been sitting on that, that's been in your closet for years, wrapped in the cellophane.
Your grandma bought it for you, forgot to give it to you. Mm-hmm. Still sitting in her house. Go get it.
We are not legally able to give you financial advice, but my advice would be go ahead and sell your new copy of Secret of Mana. Don't hold us responsible, though, for when it climbs up to $5,000, which we all know it's gonna.
It will.
The cost of gas and oil in America is actually in a converse relationship with the price of Secret of Mana. So like as gas prices go lower, prices of Secret of Mana go higher. So right now it's high.
did you know we both have degrees in economics?
I didn't know that. Did we talk about it on the show?
No, we haven't.
Explain it.
We both have degrees in video game economics.
We're very good at what we do. Right, which explains why we're recording in the garage right now.
Gotta shut this bitch down so I can go to work for a meeting.
Okay, well tell Jason I said hey.
I will.
And to stop calling meetings on fucking Tuesday nights.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about IGN's 10th ranked. Finally in the top 10 with Super Mario RPG. Oof. Legend of the Seven Stars.
Let's split that into two.
Into two,
yeah. Let's split that into two because we get so many more listens on RPGs.
Yep.
Let's just milk the fuck out of that. And then Final Fantasy VI/3 rolls around. We'll do Moogle Corner. Like, it'll just be Final Fantasy month. Let's just do that.
And then for Other Shit Monday, probably something about Ready Player One. It's about time we revisited that. So we'll try that.
Yeah.
But if you want to help us out, have a little control over the show, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Helps us out so, so much. We are up to 82 now.
It's pretty
good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. I want that 100, though.
I want it to. 100. I don't, after that quiz, though, I don't really feel like I deserve it so much. but maybe you do. Maybe you do.
But if you leave us a 5-star review and leave a written review as well.
Uh-huh.
If you include a game you want us to play, a guest host you want for a show, no one's tried the emergency contact.
Pretty
wise. Or the alibi, which is good. But at least the first two, if you include those in your review, we promise we will get to them eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about other video game shit, we promise. Or maybe we won't. Maybe we'll talk about what's better, cookie cake or ice cream cake. Who knows? Can we ever decide? Probably not.
That'd be the harshest debate we've ever had on that podcast.
The most passionate debate.
Yep.
But in the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com unless the server's down like it was on Monday, in which case, hey, if you didn't get Monday's episode, try now. It should work. You can also find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. A lot of cool people there are doing a lot of cool shit. Tyler will normally post the episode on Monday or Wednesday, and then he'll post it right there in Facebook. And that's like the best way that you can comment on the episode because we read all that shit, and it gets to us. You can also find us on Twitter.
It really gets to us.
Oh, God, it gets to us. So please only say positive things. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome. I realize that. Tweet at us. We love it. And thank you for everyone who's retweeting our Moomy announce a show. That is a really big help. Our theme song, Tyler, is Moves by Sycamore Drive. Yeah. A link to that track can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com.
So until next time.
I want to say something.
Okay.
There is an enemy. There's a boss in this game, Tyler. You may remember him. He looked like he was a worm made out of pineapples. Mm-hmm. And his name was Tropicalo. So I thought that maybe for this one game, for this one episode of Tadpog, we could change our outro.
Okay. So until next time.
Tropicalo Capricorn.
Got to Josh saying names.
Well, yeah, how else are we going to finish? I was worried about you.
No, I'm just tired.
I was like, fucking Tyler doesn't have his phone either. His phone broke or he's dead.
No, I didn't hear my phone at all when you text me until I text you back.
Oh, I didn't get it.
It was on silent. And I was like, I wonder. Oh, Dave texted me.
Because I was like, man, I hope Tyler's. Because like, I pulled up in the driveway. I was like, okay, both cars are here. I might find a murder suicide.
And it's like Dexter.
It's like Dexter, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Kid is just sitting in the middle of the floor, just crying. And I'm like, well, I guess I gotta raise a serial killer now. I gotta raise two serial killers now. I was only planning on raising one, but
well, one could be a cop and the other one's a serial killer.